Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Welcome to the Mind Your Farm Business podcast brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. I'm Sean Haney, founder of realagriculture.com. You can find more episodes of this podcast by going to mindyourfarmbusiness.com. The balance sheet is the foundation of your farm business. There are assets, liabilities, and shareholder equity. From a financial perspective, positive equity is critical to our long-term financial success. But what about sweat equity? How does it factor into your farm succession plan? Does sweat equity have a place? Is it something to be relied on? Or will it lead all sides to a point of major disagreement in the succession planning process? Today's guest on Mind Your Farm Business is family farm succession consultant Elaine Fraze. Elaine has had a career of helping, assisting, and trying to keep family farms together to fulfill their real objective, which is to have a long-term sustainable farm business legacy. Hey, Elaine, how are you doing today?
I'm great. We're doing harvest and the oats and the wheat are coming off and work's getting done.
Oh, fabulous, fabulous. Your yield's okay? Are you been quite dry where you in Manitoba, but are you making out okay?
I'm hoping that the plants have deep roots and good residual moisture, but average crop to maybe variation. The corn is needing a big drink and the soybeans are not going to be spectacular, but the wheat and the oats have been okay. And the barley was only 35 acres, so it wasn't much of a test plot. But just thankful that there is a crop out there very much, Sean, because it's a tough year, I think, all across the prairies.
Yeah, you know, it's been hot and dry for a lot of Canada. Lots of sweats on the brow throughout the growing season. Today we're going to talk about another kind of sweat equity, and as it applies to farm succession. And right off the top, you know, we hear this phrase sweat equity all the time. Does sweat equity actually exist?
Well, I did some research last night, and sweat equity exists in the real estate market. So, you know, when people watch HGTV and they see people buying houses and they put a lot of sweat into fixing up the house and renovating it and adding value to it, that's a very easy definition of putting sweat equity, because obviously they want to create equity in that real estate property, right? But when you talk about farms, It's a very interesting definition, because I wanted to sort of have a definition. So by definition, sweat equity is an interest in the increased value of a property earned by labor towards upkeep or restoration and the value added to real estate by owners who make improvements by their own toil. And so if we translate that to farms, typically what I see when I work with young farmers is, and I can remember this guy clearly, 11 years. He said, Elaine, I've been here 11 years on the promise that someday this farm would be mine. And so I go, whoa, first of all, we can't make decisions and plans just on conversations. But he said, when do I get to have equity? When do I get to have a piece of this? And then the sweat equity question also comes into play, Sean, at the other end, when the parents are aging and thinking about farm transition or avoiding it. And the reason they're avoiding the sweat equity conversation is because they know in their heart of hearts that that young man or young woman, whoever the successor is, has been with them for the last 10, 15, 20, even 30 years, building up the farm, growing it, creating wealth, capturing wealth, and keeping that wealth. And yet the parents are getting agitated because they are wondering if how they're going to deal with their transition plan with the non-business or the non-farm heirs, and they don't want to cause offense. So basically in agriculture, people skirt around the sweat equity question because of conflict avoidance, and they don't want to have hurt feelings with their family.
Yeah, like to me, and I know it's really, to me, I think we have a lot of farms where the person that's looking to transition into the business is really over-relying on this concept of sweat equity, because we know so many people, we both do, we both know so many people where it's like, man, I've put my time in, I worked hard, late nights, long hours, and now you're telling me that it doesn't count for anything? And I guess the question is, should it count for something? And two, how would you actually do that?
Okay, so those are very good questions. And so if you just, and all of your listeners here, I just want them to think about this one sentence. Why do family farms fight about sweat equity? If they just send that into Google, they'll get some really good resources. And one is from Dave Geller from the University of Nebraska, who okay. I've met. Another one is from Dr. John Baker, University of Iowa, who's also a good, who is a good friend of mine. But anyway, so the problem, Sean, that you and I are seeing is that people are letting time go by. And that, and in agriculture, the saying is the horse is already out of the barn. So when the young man or young woman comes back to the farm, fresh out of college or keen to work on the farm, that's when you should have the conversation about expectation, about is there the ability of this farm to compensate me fairly? And when Maggie Van Camp was with Country Guide and wrote the article in 2016 about this, she said it's actually about labor inequality. It's not being fairly compensated for your labor, because if a young man or woman comes back to the farm and they chose to do that instead of going working for Bayer or Syngenta or something for 80 grand a year, the farm says, well, we can't pay you 80 grand a year. Well, then what can the farm afford to pay? And then how are you going to make up the wage gap that that person has sustained? And so the whole conversation around sweat equity and compensation for labor and how equity is going to transfer from the founders to the successor needs to happen right from the get-go, right from when the son or farming daughter comes back to the farm and say, okay, we're going, like right now, Sean, look, we're going through a drought. It's going to be tough times on cash flow on tons of farms. And yes, you understand that, but bills still have to be paid, debts still have to be serviced, and families still need to eat. I mean, I had one family that didn't even know whether or not they could buy diapers, for Pete's sake. And this is 2018. You get the behavior you accept. So if you don't like your compensation structure on your farm, then you need to do something about it.
We'll have more of my conversation with Elaine Fraze, but first a word from our sponsor. This episode of Mind Your Farm Business is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. In many farm families, the older generation is thinking about life after farming, while the younger generation is excited for the future and poised to take the reins. Our people have the expertise to help all parties prepare for succession and put their plans in motion. Your farm's legacy and its future is too important to leave to chance. Go to rbc.com/agriculture to find an ag specialist near you. Well, on the last episode of Mind Your Farm Business, we had Jolene Brown as our guest. Mm-hmm. And it was all about starting the conversation, right? And I think what sort of how these two things sort of tie together is that if you don't start the farm succession discussion, then you end up in a position where you're completely relying on your own sweat equity to get you a better negotiating position or more leverage at some point if the discussion ever happens. And so many people find out that that is not a leverage point for yourself. It might be actually for the other side more so. And you really set yourself up for really some disappointment, I think.
Well, I have a saying, I don't do secrets and I don't like surprises. And I know Jolene Brown, who's also a good friend of mine, she says a conversation is not a contract. That's one of her basic encouragements. And so let's not keep dwelling on the negative things of how sweat equity does. Let's talk about what you can do. So the first thing that you can do is decide. Decide what is fair to you, what is fair to you as a parent and a founder, and what is fair to you as a successor, and what is fair to you as a non-farm sibling. Because I think, you know, Sean, we both know that the price of land went up in Saskatchewan by 23% in 1 year. Can't remember what year it was, but it wasn't that long ago. And regardless, you know, seeing the farm as the golden egg for the whole family, that has to stop. A farm needs to be kept intact as a business, and it needs to be run as a business. So first of all, there needs to be the F. So I want to give you the FAIR acronym, which I think is a solution to sweat equity, because it's also part of my presentation called Finding Fairness in Farm Transition. So the F stands for financial transparency. And Maggie Van Camp and I were talking about when should this start? And she interviewed a bunch of McGill young farmers from Montreal. And they said, Elaine, you get your driver's license when you're 16, and they let you drive a very heavy car or truck on the roads when you're 16. Why can't you be 16 or 17 and start getting financial transparency around the cash flow, the net worth, and how the farm business works? So that's F. The A stands for your attitude towards money. So some people have a very patient, forgiving, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. I'm laid back. It'll all be good. I trust you, Dad. You're my best friend. It's all going to be good. Or my grandfather would never let me down. Unfortunately, Grandpa becomes a widow at 65. He remarries, and now he has a blended family in his 80s, and he's not letting go because of his changing family dynamics. So the A is your attitude towards money and what you expect the compensation before. And then the I in fair becomes your intent. Why are you holding back, Dad? Why are you not able to transfer pieces or a range of the wealth from founder to farming successor over time? Like, what's your intent? And you see, in sweat equity, I had a farming brother who was given everything from my parents. But I knew that that was their intent. And I was totally fine with that because I'm a farming sister on a totally different farm. So my expectation was spoken at a family meeting, and I made it very clear what my intent was. So I was good with how things went down. And then the R is a dual meaning. It stands for roles and rebels. So the rebels are the farming or non-farming kids who, no matter what you do, Sean, it's never enough. And those are the entitled golden children, they're called in agriculture, or the entitled ones. And parents, I want to ask parents all across North America, where is it written as a founder that it's your responsibility as a farm parent to make every one of your children economically equal? Where is that written? It's not.
You'd have to search for a long time to find that.
Yeah, exactly. So the acronym of FAIR is financial transparency. What are the attitudes or money scripts in the family? And you see, Sean, when your son is 22 and fresh out of college, that's one thing. But when he's 30, married and having his second child, he's getting other input from the in-law factor, because the in-law comes from a different family of origin and also a different money script and wants to know, why don't we have money for diapers? This is ridiculous. Yeah. And then, so do you see how this is, how it's complicated? And so I think Jolene is right. And I call it kickstart the conversation. I have a PDF on that if anybody wants to send me an email and just put kickstart in the subject line. So it's really about your definition of fairness too, because Jim Snyder's daughter in BDO in Ontario, his daughter came up with this definition, which I've embraced, called fairness is helping everyone be successful. So mom and dad are aging. The farming son and daughter are there caring for the parent. So in Dr. Baker's asset distribution Excel sheet that I shared with you, it's a huge document, but I had a mother go through that and she said, Elaine, I'm mad. I said, why are you mad? She said, because my husband's been lying to my son. I said, oh, really? Tell me more. He says, someday, son, and this will all be yours. Trust me. But she said, I put the numbers in, and we need to recognize that our net worth has gone up significantly because our son has been working alongside us. And again, that's where sweat equity becomes so controversial, Sean, because how do you define what that is? And Dr. Baker's tool, and again, people can just write me and say, send me Dr. Baker's tool, I'll send it to you. And it's a comparison of what was the net worth on your farm when your son or daughter was 18? What was the net worth when they were 28? What was the net worth when they're 38? So you can just imagine how that number has changed over 20 years, right? But you can't use your capital assets to buy groceries, right? Mm-hmm. So then you need profitability. Then you need good financial risk management. But it all starts with a conversation about what do you want, what do you expect, and what does fairness look like to you? And do you feel that you're being compensated fairly?
Yeah, you know, and in your acronym there for FAIR, I think attitude and intent from all sides of this discussion, those are really such key words to really, really focus on. Mm-hmm. Do you, when you're talking about, you know, the growth of the company when when the child or younger adult came to the farm. There is growth, and that needs to be factored in. But I think also it's not just about, hey, all of that growth is because of this younger child. It's because of the team, right? And it's everybody working alongside each other, and you know, putting the crop in, dropping those calves, doing all the things you need to do in a family farm ranch situation, and that really sometimes is forgotten by not just the older generation but the younger one too.
Well, and the other thing that gets forgotten or that gets entangled in the family conflict is, hey, man, I left the farm, but I gave you my best years from the time I was 11 till I was 18. Uh-huh. So what about my 7 years of sweat equity before I went to university? Right. And so you can be really tit for tat. That's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is I would look you square in the eye, Sean. And I'd say, Sean, what is it that you need that you're not getting? And then you tell me, and then I can understand. I want appreciation, Elaine. I want respect. I want to know that there's been value in me sacrificing my children's hockey games. I know you love to go to your son's baseball games. And like, I talked to a rancher this week who is not over 50 very much. And he said, Elaine, I'm about to walk. He said, I'm burnt out. I can't get conversation with my mother. My brother's happy. I'm not happy. There's just all kinds of stuff. And I can't say very much more because it's confidential. But the story is that everybody in agriculture needs to know that if your current situation is making you feel trapped or stuck or treated unfairly, then you have to speak up. Because one of my phrases that pays, Sean, is you get the behavior that you accept. Yeah. So if you keep getting paid poorly for 11 years, I go, how did you let that happen? Or if a farm woman comes up to me and said, Elaine, my name's not on the title of any of the land, I just look her straight in the eye and I said, how did you let that happen? She doesn't like that answer, Sean.
Yeah, but I think the key here is, like, what happens a lot of times in family farm succession discussions like this one, we all know the train wrecks. We all know the ones that didn't go well. But there you can actually do it right. It can it can go well. We all know success stories, but it's not easy.
Well, I think we need better language, Sean. So I did a presentation at AgX in Ottawa last winter at the annual conference called Culture Beat Strategy. 30-minute presentation, and here it is in three sentences. We get to choose how we behave, we get to choose what we believe, and we get to choose how we decide. So culture on your farm is the glue on your farm that you can't really measure or touch that keeps the family together. And I use our own farm as an example. I love our farm. We've got young guys working. My husband had a serious accident last October, almost died. My son stepped up to the plate. He's turning 30. His best friend is our mechanic. We got the retired farmer neighbor guy next door who is working with us. And people say, oh, it can't be that good. I said, guys, we have a coach. We sit down and have meetings with our coach and with our accountant. We talk to each other about what we want the farm to look like in 2 years or 3 years. And we make quick repair. And we always ask, do you feel like you're being compensated fairly? And we pay our employees really well, and we give bonuses and incentives, and we treat each other with deep respect and appreciation. Now, that doesn't cost you anything, Sean, except intentionality. It's how you want to show up.
Yeah, and there's clarity. I think that's the part, because I think the trouble with, you know, sweat equity is the fact that it's cloudy. It's, you know,
absolutely.
It doesn't provide the clarity that all sides in the discussion really, really want to have, need to have, if the family farm succession discussion is going, and the transaction is going to go well. And, you know, you've referred to payment several times. It really does start with, you know, farmers are famous. Hey, all entrepreneurs, and it could be a bakery, don't pay themselves first, right? And so I think that's a part of this whole sweat equity discussion for sure.
The other thing I want to bring your listeners' attention to as well is a good friend of mine, Dick Whitman, who I'm sure you know in Idaho.
Yes.
And Dick has taught at TPAP down in Texas, and he's very highly esteemed as a management guy. I've been to his ranch. It's just amazing. It's forestry. It's cattle. It's 20,000 acres. It's amazing. Anyway, Dick is at Whitman WittmanConsulting.com, I think is his website, but it's WITTMAN. But again, I've taken his training and I have his tool called, I call it Farm Perks. He calls it the compensation worksheet. But when you look at Sean putting diesel or gas into your Chevy pickup truck, my apologies to Ford, you know, whatever, the garden, a place to park your horse with expensive hay, your internet, maybe your low rental house, all of the different non-taxable benefits that you get from being on the farm, that is another conversation around where the conflict comes, because the non-farming kids will say, well, Elaine, my brother gets all kinds of farm perks. I'm not getting those perks. And then I look back at them, I said, so who helped pay the mortgage and the down payment on your house? The farm. Okay. And who paid for your college education? The farm. I said, okay. You know, so let's be real here about different ways of helping each different child become successful. But then the other thing we have to pay attention to, Sean, is the increasing complexity of farm families, because now I'm seeing more good friends from college go into business together. So you have, and my husband actually is a good example, because he's in a joint venture with a non-family member, another really good seed grower guy that he enjoys doing business with. So the two of them have a company together. So there's also the complexity of bringing in non-family. And so then you better really have your agreements clear and well-defined when you increase the number of people that are being involved in your farm operation.
Yeah, some great stuff there, Elaine. Don't rely on sweat equity. Have the conversation. Make it real equity instead of relying on the sweat. This has been a great discussion, Elaine. I really appreciate you joining us.
Good. Can you tell I'm passionate about this?
I love it. Such a fun, insightful discussion with Elaine Fraze. Elaine had some great practical pieces of advice for us all today. We definitely got the details on why relying on sweat equity in the family farm succession plan is very dangerous and can lead us down a path of disappointment no matter what our role is at the farm. Sweat on the farm is great. Sweat equity is not so good for your farm's future. Find more episodes of Mind Your Farm Business at mindyourfarmbusiness.com. Thanks to RBC Royal Bank. And until next time, keep on minding your farm business.